I prepared this lesson, and after I got it prepared, this thought came up from my spirit, the balanced life. And I realized that's what we've been trying to say. But let's start in 3 John, and let me give you an overview of the balanced life. Because 3 John 2 that we quote is that overview. It says, "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers." I wish above all things. Now, used to, when our son lived at home, when we'd go out of town, we'd leave him in charge. And I would usually leave him 2 or 3 or 4 things to do. I don't like to come back to a mess. But I would leave him in charge and tell him, please have the dishwasher loaded and the clothes all picked up. And then I have 3 dogs, a cat, and a bird. And above everything else, if he didn't load the dishwasher or he didn't run the vacuum or he didn't pick up his clothes, the most important thing was that the dogs and the cat and the bird get the proper attention. You know, they like to eat. And I would even call from out of town to make sure that he was... And he knew that's what I was going to ask. He'd answer the phone the minute he'd hear my voice. He'd say, "I fed him. I walked him." He wouldn't even wait for me to ask. See, it was a priority. And this is God's priority list. I wish above all things. This is what's important to him. Well, what's important to him is important to me. You'd be surprised. Maybe you haven't said it, but I know it's been said because a lady said it to me even within the last 4 or 5 or 6 months. She says, "Well, we don't have very much money, but we can just live without it." And she's saying, it may be important to God, but it's not important to me. But see, if it is important to God, if it's provided for you by heaven's resources, then it should be important to you. You know, if you provide a bountiful present for a child, and you're bound to have done this one time, and they open it and they didn't like it, or they weren't impressed, they weren't awestruck, you know, you expected them to be awestruck. One lady told me when her mother, it was her mother-in-law died, they were cleaning out the house. And one chest she opened, every drawer she opened had in the boxes the presents that she'd given her over the years lined up in there. I mean, lots of them just lined up in those drawers. Once you give a present, you have to release it for them to do what they choose to do with it, including nothing, if that's what they choose. But it is a little dent into your spirit, isn't it? Especially if you're conscientious, you put some effort into making a selection. You like it to be nice, you like it to be right. You don't want to spend all the money you've got, and yet you don't want to be cheap. You want them to be pleased. This is what God said would please him. He said, "I'd be pleased if you'd prosper." That's what makes it important to me. He said, "I'd be pleased if you were in health." That's what makes it important to me. Now, most people don't have any trouble with being pleased with health because I'm happy to be healthy, aren't you? I vacuum sucked my contact lens into my eye yesterday. If you've never done that, it's quite wonderful. Be a day or two before I can wear my contact lens again. I was more pleased with health than with pain. You know what I'm telling you? When I couldn't get that thing out of there, and the pain was substantial, and pastor's preaching, I thought, you know, I elbowed Wayne. I said, I got to have my glasses. I mean, I was on the front. I may have looked spiritual. I was still smiling on the outside. But on the inside, I was dying with pain. Well, health is better. Mm-hmm. And God says, that's important to me. Your health is important to me. Well, my health is important to me. But a lot of people don't find money as important to them as God does. See, God says it's substantially above all things. Now, this word prosper means to succeed in business. And you can't succeed in business and not have money. You know, if your business doesn't succeed, it doesn't make money, then you have to file bankruptcy. You have to close it down. Isn't that right? So it says he wishes above all things. That makes it important to God. It is as important to God that you have money, that you be fully supplied, that your every need is met, as it is that you walk in health. But notice it's precipice. It's balanced. Even as is our balance, thy soul prospers. The soul is the mind. That means my mind is prospering. My mind is succeeding. My mind has in it the fullness of the Word of God. I'm daily learning and growing and practicing what I know about God. And those three prongs, kind of like a fork. You know, a comb or a fork? Well, I comb my dogs. And you have to buy those little combs, and they're about $10 a piece. And the teeth are very, very tight together because they're made to bring the flea to the surface. And when any of those, just one little bitty prong is out, you're hampered and hindered. You can't get the fleas. Now they make a new, and I don't know who they made it for. It's the same kind of comb, but they put the prongs farther apart, and it won't work. It just won't work. There's not enough balance in it to accomplish the task. Some things are not going to work alone or not going to fully succeed without other things. And my health and my financial prosperity are not going to be fully successful. They are two prongs of the comb, but I have to have this third prong called soul prosperity. It means I know God, I know His Word, and it means I'm doing or practicing His Word. A lot of times we're not doing what we know to do. He says, verse 3, I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee. This is soul prosperity. They had the truth in them. They knew God. They knew the truth. Now, they're not reading it from a book. Just have the letters, perhaps, and the memory of men who had walked with God. Even as thou what walkest in the truth means they not only knew God, but they were doing what they knew to do. You know, him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. That's what the Scripture says. So I'm responsible to fill my mind, and consequently, as I'm filling my mind, I'm filling my heart. It's the same thing. To fill my heart and fill my mind with the Word of God so that my heart, which is my spirit man, and my mind or my soul can work together. And they're going to be only two prongs of a comb, and the other two prongs are going to be my health and my prosperity. Giving my life great balance. Now, you know, a person who has great knowledge but is dying of cancer cannot live a balanced life. A person may have great health and great knowledge but absolutely no money and no resources, then they can't go out into the world and fully function and share the knowledge that they have. So it's going to take money. It's going to take health. You know, the first year I went to Tulsa, I was totally oblivious to have lived in Florida all my life to the fact that there were things in there that you could ingest and breathe that would hamper and hinder your health. And I got out there and instantly, in 24 hours, lost my voice, just instantly, and struggled all week long. Well, I'm out there to absorb the Word of God and the Spirit of God to see what's happening, to bring a deposit home in my life so I can put that in the life of those around me. And I'm at night, I'm up going, I mean, just trying to breathe. Now, I know I have to take a firm stand. Next time I'm going back out to Tulsa, I have to plant my feet because those same things are going to be floating in the air out there that were out there the last time I was there. And I couldn't fully learn. See, I was down because of my health. I couldn't fully grasp or practice or hear the knowledge that was available to me. It takes knowledge, it takes health, and it takes prosperity. It's going to take all of those working in balance together. You know what happens to a man with a lot of money and no knowledge? They do redeem. Pretty soon they lose their money because they do such silly things. One lady I knew had a great inheritance. I said, what are you going to do with your money? She said, oh, come look. And I went to her house, and she had cute little chest here, and a cute little piece here, and a cute little piece here, and a cute little piece here, and a new chair here, and a new flower here. I said, did you spend all your money? She said, well, I may have a little bit left. I think I spent. No, I probably don't. Well, maybe I do. Well, maybe I don't. Didn't even know. She just went, I mean, just on doodads and flowers. I'm not against doodads. I got doodads at my house. I'm not against flowers. But she lacked wisdom, see. It takes more than money. And yet if I have knowledge and no money, where am I? No. See, I've got to have the knowledge. My soul's got to prosper. I've got to be walking in the knowledge that I have. I've got to have the money to get out there and function as God wants me to function. And I've got to have the health on which to go with my money. Isn't that right? It's going to take all three of those. And that's what it says, verse 4, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth. Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren, to strangers. Now notice the term faithfully, which have borne witness of thy charity before the church. Now here's more of that balance. Faithfulness is part of balance. Diligence and faithfulness, earnestness, sincerity, steadfastness in the kingdom is a part of the balance. It goes with the money, it goes with the health, it goes with the knowledge. You know, if I have vast knowledge, but I won't help you, you can't depend on me, then my life is going to be out of balance, and consequently your life could be somewhat out of balance until you can find somebody who will diligently, faithfully help you, who will stand together with you. You know, if we agree in prayer and then I don't think about it again and I renege and I don't go on with that agreement, hold fast to it, to help you hold fast to it, what good am I? See, it takes faithfulness. Now, with the knowledge I have and the money I have and the prosperity, the health that I have, it's going to take this quality of faithfulness, and it's going to take this next quality of love, which have borne witness of thy love. You know, we have that very clearly from 1 Corinthians 13, the first three chapters, which talk about if you have all faith, you can move mountains. In other words, faith and knowledge go together. Knowledge and faith. If you have knowledge, you have faith. because faith comes by hearing. And so I have knowledge, but I don't have love. It talks about I can't put my knowledge into practice. I can't flow in the things of God without love. It talks about I give my body to be burned and I give all my goods, and so I have great resources, and I'm a very generous person, very bountiful, very liberal, but I'm ugly about it. See, I'm not walking in love. It talks about my generosity cannot profit me. It'll not come back to me, that seed sown. So it's going to take, with all of the knowledge I have and with the prosperity I have and with the health that I have, it's going to take this faithfulness, this commitment, this diligence in the things of God in order to bring balance to my life, and this walk of love. And any time you take up that flea comb and one little prong is missing, one little thing, you're going to miss a flea as you comb them. You're going to comb right through and the flea's going to hop through that one little hole. They're very clever fleas. Have you noticed that? Notice it says, whom which have borne witness of thy charity before the church, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well. Now they're bringing people forward. In other words, they're putting finances. It's not only just love, God bless you, I love you, that's wonderful, you're so sweet, you're so kind, you're so nice, I'm such a wonderful person, you're a wonderful person, I love you, you love me. No, it was money. It was love and money. And love makes a financial commitment, and you know that. If you have children and you love them, you have to make a commitment to them. Now turn to 2 Corinthians, where you'll see exactly the same thing. Verse 7. We've been talking about money, and we're going to get right down to money, but I want you to see chapter 8. Now notice, as you abound in everything, verse 7. As you abound in what?
Everything.
We're talking about balance here. We're talking about succeeding in the kingdom. As you abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and all diligence, in your love toward us, see that you abound in this grace also, that grace being the money that he's previously talked about. Notice the prongs of our comb there. Faith, utterance, which is speech, knowledge, diligence, love. Those are the same characteristics we saw in 3 John that are going to give my life balance. Let's just start with faith and go over a few of these and show you some proof. As you abound in everything, not just in money, not just in knowledge, not just in health, but in what?
Everything.
In everything. Abound in everything. Now that word abound is crucial to our thinking. It says, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. They come from the same Greek word, and it really means to have leftovers. It means to have great quantity and great quality. You know, if I need 12 items and they're a dollar a piece, usually there's also an item just exactly like it that's $2 that's a little better. You notice how they do that to you. I can have 12 at $1 or 6 at $2 if all I have is the $12. That means I've got to make a choice. Do I want the quantity or the quality? Do I want 12 cheap ones or 6 nice ones? This word abound has to do with both quantity and quality. I'm going to show it to you in several scriptures. It has to do with having plenty of the very best. It means I'm going to go out there and buy 12 of these $2 dudes. That's what I'm going to do because I abound in everything, and that includes my money. Well, the first thing he mentions here, and we'll get back to money, is your faith. And I want to show you Matthew 8. We're to abound in faith. Our life is not going to have balance without faith. Abound in faith. Matthew 8. We'll just read verse 10 right here in the middle. This man came on behalf of his servant, and his servant got healed. And Jesus said, verse 10, when he heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. So what kind of faith? Well, we know that was pleasing to Jesus because he marveled. He was awestruck. He went, oh, wow, look at that faith, great faith. I looked that word up, great faith, and you just absolutely, it's amazing how the Holy Spirit leads, because I was thinking about quantity and quality when I got started studying this lesson. And it says to be vast in quantity, Strong's, exhaustive concordance of New Testament words. To be vast in quantity and number and space, large or many. Abound in faith. Abound in faith. We're to abound in faith. Now look at one more reference. Look at Matthew 15, verse 28. This is the woman with the issue of blood. This is Matthew's version. Jesus answered and said to her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. Or be it unto thee according to your faith. You haven't changed it. Now this word great is a different word from the one that he used earlier, but it comes from the Greek word megas. You've heard of mega. We say that. It means to be big, to be great, to exceed. He talked about exceeding faith. It says we're to abound. We're to abound in everything. We're to have balance in everything. And that balance begins with my what? With my faith. With my faith. Jesus never did commend small faith. Did you notice that in the scripture? Look at Matthew 8. My life is not going to have balance if I'm not working on my faith, which comes through reading and hearing and practicing the Word of God, in order for my faith to increase. Now, 8:26, I want to show you. He saith unto them, why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Does that sound like a word of recommendation, commendation? That's a little different from he marveled at the great faith, isn't it? There are some things that always go with small faith. The first one you'll notice is fear. Fear and small quantities of faith, wavering faith, doubting faith, hesitant faith will go together. Now look at 14, Matthew 14. We'll use a lot of scripture today. Verse 31, immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand, caught him, and said unto him, O thou of what? Wherefore didst thou doubt? Doubt always goes with small faith. That's why I don't know. Somebody I know, I don't remember now who, says that all the time. Well, I don't know. Mm-hmm. Little faith and doubt go together because faith is confidence. It's assurance. Mm-hmm. It knows what it knows and it practices what it knows and it knows it'll come to pass according to the Word of God. Now look at 16, verse 8. Which when Jesus perceived, he said unto them, O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves because you brought no bread? Do ye not yet understand, neither remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets you took up? O ye of little faith, what goes with little faith? Reason. Or lack of understanding. Lack of knowledge. Reasoning is mental. It's just mean I think I got this figured out. I have got this figured out. You probably don't. The ability to figure out goes with small faith. We need to keep that in mind. As does fear and doubt. Well, let's look at one more that's real important to us. Look at Luke 12. And you tell me, you know this scripture in context. Verse 28, if then God so clothe the grass, which is today is in the field, tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe ye, O ye of little faith? Now, in context, verse 22, and he said unto his disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life what you eat, neither for your body what you shall put on. And this little faith came with what? Take no thought is worry or anxiousness. Now, anytime we see these qualities in our life, we'll not be walking in the fullness that we could walk in. Worry and little faith go together. Reason and little faith go together. Doubt and fear and small faith go together. So you wonder why your faith sometimes not working. You're fretting, you're anxious, you're worried, you're concerned, you're pacing, you're panicking. You ever done that? You ever had any doubt? Didn't know if that's what you needed, that's what you wanted or not. See, it'll hinder your faith. Now, if we're going to live a balanced life, we're going to be one that Jesus can marvel at because we have great faith. Vast in quantity. Mega faith. Big faith. Now, turn to the next thing. Abound. It says abound in. Superior in quantity and quality. Plenty of the very best. There isn't anything any better than faith to have a lot of, is there? Have a lot of faith. The next thing mentioned is utterance, which is speech or words and knowledge. Now turn to 1 Corinthians, in the first chapter, and I'll show you that again. Utterance are speech and knowledge. Well, I know you've never said, well, I just never know what the right thing to say is. Well, don't ask me, because I never say the right thing. Well, we're supposed to be, in order to live a balanced life, we're strong in faith, but we're strong in utterance. That means we're people who can speak a word in due season. Doesn't mean we're blabbermouths. Look at verse 4 and 5. I want you to see you're to abound. You're to overflow in faith. You're to overflow in words. That means when you speak to me, when you ask me a question, I have a Holy Ghost response or reply. I have the word that you need. I can say it. Doesn't matter how shy you are, when the Holy Ghost comes upon you, when you lean and trust on Him, you are abounding, you're increasing, you have, and it really means to be in excess. Excess of utterance. Means I won't just explain it to you with 2 scriptures, but I could give you 22. In excess. He says, Paul says to these people, verse 4, chapter 1, I thank my God always on your behalf. Now this doesn't sound like God's displeased, sounds like he's pleased. For the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything you are enriched by him. In what?
In everything.
See, enriched in everything. You know what that word enriched means in Strong's? In the Greek it means to be wealthy. Enriched or abound in everything. That's what Corinthians says later. In everything, enriched or abound. Now, what I'm doing all this for is not to convince you that you need faith, not to convince you that you need to speak a word in season, not to convince you that you need to move in the manifestations of the Holy Ghost as He gives them to you, but to convince you that coupled with all of these wonderful things, you need to have money. Money! 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 You can't get the gospel into the far corners of the world without finances. And we've lived with poverty mentality, barely get along, on barely get along street, the end of Grumble Alley. I always say I live on the corner of Prosperity Path and Health Highway. Just want to park right there. Those things were given to me by my Father and they belong to me. Well, He says we're to be enriched in everything, and then He mentions in all utterance and in knowledge. Well, the two kind of go together, because if I don't have knowledge, I'm not going to be enriched or abound or overflow in excess of words or utterance, am I? Sister Stupid is not going to be able to utter anything that's going to help much of anybody. And if you read Proverbs over and over, it says, get understanding in all you're getting. In other words, it's a priority in my life to have knowledge of God, to know in my heart that I can tap into the Holy Ghost. I may not know what to say, but He knows. And to know how to reach into the recesses of my inward being and pour forth those words out, and pour them out in what? In great faith. Not in worry. No use you worrying and my agreeing with you. Then my, I just don't know what we're going to do. That won't help. Then He goes on to name something else, verse 7, such you come behind in no gift. That has to do with the manifestations of the Spirit of God. To come behind is to be short. You know, if you paid your bills, you know when you come behind, you were short, you didn't have enough. He says God's people are not to be behind. They're not to be behind in faith, they're not to be behind in utterance, they're not to be behind in knowledge, and they're not to be behind in money. Amen. That's the truth. Very seldom do you teach a lesson like this and there's somebody there that doesn't need anything. Most everybody needs something that has to do with money. And I want you to know it is the will of God that as you increase in faith and as you increase in knowledge and as you increase in utterance, as you increase in the manifestations, see, as we concentrate on those things are important. But, beloved, I wish above all things that you prosper, that you prosper. They're not any more important to God than your finances. We don't have to pick and choose here, okay? You want knowledge, faith, or money. So you can have all of those things. Now look forward at Ephesians. Verse 19. Here's the prayer of Paul. You're supposed to abound in utterance. He said, pray as for me that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. That goes for you. It says you're to abound or be enriched in everything. And one of those everythings he mentioned was utterance. For the person that's shy and reticent and has trouble with words, and there's as many of those as there are people who, in fact, there's probably more of those than there are people who are very vocal people, it still is the will of God that you abound in utterance. It's still the will of God that you know what to say. Paul said, you just pray for me. And then in Colossians, he says, pray that a door of utterance is opened unto me. A place where I can share what I know and what I've heard and what's happened to me. Everybody needs to know what, be able to tell what's happened to them with confidence, with assurance. That's why we pray for boldness. They grant boldness is one thing you pray for according to the scripture. You don't pray for faith. Faith comes from the word of God. You can pray for faith till the cows come home. You won't get any through prayer. That comes from reading. Read your word and you'll get faith. But boldness comes through prayer. This is good. You know, because that's saying, God, change me. Something on the inside wants to withdraw, wants to be hesitant, doesn't want to give an answer, wants to let Susan give the answer. You're supposed to be bold to utter. You're supposed to abound in utterance. You're supposed to have mega answers. That's what it says. Do we believe in mega faith? Great faith? Yes. Do we believe in great knowledge? Do we believe in great utterance? Well, here's the other thing mentioned here. It's love. Look at 1 Thessalonians. You know, we need to lay aside the thinking. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. Stinking thinking is what they call it. Just want enough to go around. You know, when I fix dinner for anybody, I don't like to just make do and have to wonder now, do I have enough? I'd rather put leftover chicken in the freezer and dump out the fruit, because fruit doesn't save over 24 hours or so, than to just have barely enough. To have to stretch it and have to wonder if you're going to get any at all, because, you know, the hostess has to be the one. The guests are well, a bountifully supplied, and the hostess has to do without if anybody does. Well, I don't like to do without. And so I fix lots, and when Suzanne helps me, that's my daughter. Her specialty is potato salad. She's a gourmet cook. She always says to me, most people don't understand this, but you have to understand the gourmet mind. When I say, Suzanne, would you fix potato salad? She always says, what kind do you want? It took me a while to get in the groove here. But I said, what choices do I have? What kind do I want? Well, I said, now fix plenty. Or sometimes I just get 10 pounds of potatoes. Say, 10 pounds. I don't like to run short. I don't like to have to fret and worry. Do I have enough food here? I'm going to have plenty. If there are going to be four of us, I'm probably going to do about three chickens. And then we're going to put the other one in the freezer and we're going to eat it later because we're probably going to have leftovers. But I've seen the time when you didn't have leftovers and you did have more than enough. They ate it all. Or my son comes and he's usually got somebody with him. And you got two or three extras. Well, that's what he's talking about when he talks about abounding and being enriched in faith. He's talking about it just flows everywhere. You just got a faith that would build a mountain, remove a mountain, shift a mountain. Where do you want this mountain? You want it on the left? You want it on the right? You want it in the sea? You want me to send it? Or I got faith. I got mega faith. I got big faith. And I have knowledge. I study my word. And I go and I tap into the resources of the Holy Spirit. And on the inside, I can give you the answer you need. Somebody, I always want you to pray for them, lay hands on them, that they have real understanding and wisdom. You know God wants them to be smarter. Isn't that right? And you grab them by the hand and say, Lord, you said if we'd ask for wisdom, we'd have wisdom. And I believe abundantly you send her your mind, that your heart is so clear to her, that she sees any obstacles, she sees any roadblocks, any hindrance to her growth in the kingdom of God. See, wisdom and knowledge. We're supposed to abound. We're supposed to be flooded because the King of Kings said, if you ask me for wisdom, I'll give it to you. He doesn't want his people in the dark. And that's what I am when it comes to computers. Ours had we have a different one now. I don't even haven't even tried that. But our old one had two or three on buttons. Beyond me, why one little machine has to be turned on in three places. Well, I thought, I hate you. I just absolutely hate you. And everything you do is wrong. And yet here Joel comes along. He whizzes through. And he's been on the computer. We didn't have a television for about 10 years. We did that intentionally, deliberately, and on purpose. And it worked out really well for us. I highly recommend it. So our kids were raised without television. We had a computer. So by the time he was 18, he's a whiz. He's okay, flip this, mash this, put this, okay, put now this, 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 and I put a colon here. And I want to say, who cares? But that's not the will of God, that his people be stupid where it comes to spiritual things, where it comes to the word of God. We're supposed to abound. We're supposed to have an excess. One little lady brings me vegetables every year, and she brought me corn. And she brought me lots of corn. And I sent some to my mother. And then Suzanne had her own corn. She didn't need any. And I sent some to some ladies. One lady, I was down at the fabric store and fixed to have my sofa recovered. If you'd like to come by, I'll take your vote. Taking an opinion poll about my blue fabric or my plaid fabric. I gave the upholstery lady a bag of corn. Well, I got plenty. I got corn here, there, here. I got plenty. I don't need all this. What am I going to do with all this corn? This little fella invited himself to dinner with his wife. And I said, all right, we'll have corn. Because I got plenty. It is the will of God that God's people be bountiful and plentifully supplied. And when God's heart becomes your heart, you begin to think in big numbers, in big quantities. You begin to swell in everything you do. Because God's a more than enough God. That's what it means to be El Shaddai, to do more than enough, to be more than enough. See, in everything we do, building my case here, 3:12, 1 Thessalonians 3:12, we're talking about love. Here's that same word, the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another, toward all men, even as we do toward you. Increase and abound. That's that same word, superior in quantity and quality. Now, you know those kind of people who practice that kind of love. Whatever you need, they'll do it. They'll get it. They'll loan it to you. They'll take you to it. They'll pick you up. They just abound. He's not talking to a people that didn't walk in love. You turn over chapter 4, where he commends them. Verse 9, as touching brotherly love, you need not that I write unto you, for you yourselves are taught of God to love one another. They understood love. They were walking in love. But he says to people who are already walking in love, I want you to increase in love. I want you to abound. Do more. Enlarge your coast in this area of love. And indeed, you do it toward all the brethren. Well, I'd say, well, that's pretty good. I'm already loving all the brethren. I think I could sit down and prop my feet up, wouldn't you? Yeah. But he said, we beseech you. That's a strong word, beseech. We beseech you. He's talking about people who did walk in love, who walked in love everywhere, whose love walk was known throughout Macedonia, that you increase more and more. Expansion in the way I love. Well, what I want you to do is not only stretch your faith, I got to have great faith. I got to have great knowledge, great words of utterance and wisdom, great love. And great money. Balance. You're not going to have balance without money.
That is right.
I know that.
Look at 2 Peter. The other thing he mentions in Corinthians is diligence, steadfastness, faithfulness. And I love this word diligence, and I'll tell you about it. Chapter 1, verse 5, 2 Peter. Besides this, giving what? All diligence. How much diligence?
All.
That would be abounding, wouldn't it? If you had all diligence. Our nephew owns this business. He was saying the other day, he says, I am not hiring anybody else under 36. He said they want to start a straight labor job, $12 an hour. That's what he said. And then they want to be paid for 40 hours and work 20. He said there is in the youth a real give me everything you've got mentality. And he said, boy, you can take these older men and say, this is a straight labor job. I promise them a little raise as things go along. And they'll show up 40 hours a week, glad to have a job. He said, you don't find that type of mentality. They're not diligent in the youth. All diligence. Now, the word diligence in the Greek has, first of all, to do with speed. Speed! Not drugs, either. I'm talking about fast. Diligent people, they're there when you need them. And they do what you need with speed, with great rapidity. They can be depended on to get it together in a hurry, to put it right in your hands where you need it. It has to do with speed. It has to do with sincerity also and earnestness. These are those people always at your elbow. Well, let me do it. I can do it. I can handle it. I'll go get it. Like the little fellow that everybody talks about in Peru that kept picking up everybody's luggage and nobody knew who he was. See, he had all diligence. They kept taking their luggage away from him, not knowing he was from the church and he was supposed to take the luggage, you know. This is strange man is running off with the luggage, and they kept trying to retrieve their luggage. He had diligence. He had speed. He had earnestness. He had sincerity. And we're supposed to overflow in diligence. You're supposed to be able to depend on me to come to your aid, to come rapidly, to come with the right word, the right knowledge, the right utterance, and with my money if you need it. Diligence. Diligence. See, that's going to bring balance. You're not going to have balance. If I need you today and have to wait on you till Friday, that's not balance. There's no balance in that. Balance requires what? Faith, knowledge, utterance, love, and diligence. You know, if you need love today, I mean, you just need somebody today, and Friday's not going to do it. Diligence is the key. It's what we term faithfulness in part. It has to do with being faithful. Now, remember when we read 3 John, he talked about prosperity. He talked about health. He talked about love. He talked about money. He talked about faithfulness. He talked about truth, which is knowledge. All of these same things to give our life real balance. I'm a student of the Word. I'm studying the Word. I'm gaining knowledge. As I gain knowledge, because faith comes from that, then I have faith. I put my faith into practice. Well, putting faith into practice has to do with my love, because faith and love work together. Faith without love is dead. It won't work. It won't operate. It won't function. We covered that at length the first of the year. Giving all diligence, add to your what? Because of faith. Because we're going to what? We're going to abound or exceed or excel in faith. And this virtue has to do with character, moral uprightness. And then there's the word knowledge. And then temperance is self-control. Now, who wants to exceed in self-control? But it is the word of the Lord. Patience. I mean, I can really hang in there. That's what it means. Godliness. Brotherly kindness, which is friendship, and love, agape love of God. If these things be in you, and what?
Abound.
And what? Now, that word abound doesn't mean that you need 98 cents and you've got 99. It means you needed 98 cents and you had a $5 bill. That's what that word abound incorporates. It means you got plenty. Plenty of love. Plenty of godliness. Plenty of patience. Plenty of endurance. Plenty of self-control or temperance. Got plenty. Got an excess. Why? Because every day, that's the way I live my life. That's the way I practice my life. See, Christians are supposed to be a people of great excess. Excess. You need to put that word in your heart. Excess. Excess of love. Excess of faith. Excess of knowledge. Excess of money. Money. Say money.
Money.
I tell you, when you say excess of faith, okay, people, they can hang in there with you. When you get down to diligence, where they're a little unhappy. But when you get down to money, you can tell in the spirit you hit a wall. But it is the plan of God that His people abound. Abound. Be enriched and abound, it says, in everything. Let's read those two scriptures one more time. Look at 2 Corinthians 8:7. I want you to see them. These people already had that. He's just talking to them about money. They had the rest of it all together. Thank God for that. He says, therefore, as you abound in everything, as you abound in everything. I want your heart to say that to you in the middle of the night. In faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence and in your love to us, see that you abound in this grace, also talking about giving and money. As you abound, abound, abound. Now let me show you this word abound. Look at Luke chapter 15. I'm going to show you what they do in the Greek. They take one word and give it a number of different English renderings. And we're reading English, but we're actually reading Greek. Look at Luke chapter 15. 15:17. And this is the story of the prodigal son. And this is the word abound. If we were reading the Greek, we would have the same word here that we have over in Corinthians where it says abound. Same word. Say same word.
Same word.
Same word.
Same word.
Verse 17. When he came to himself, that's the prodigal, he said, how many servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. And enough and to spare is the Greek word to abound. Enough and to spare. Enough and to spare of faith. Enough and to spare of knowledge. Enough and to spare of utterance. Enough and to spare of love. And enough and to spare of money. And this prodigal is talking about money. Let's look at it again. Look at John 6. John 6:12. Now this is the feeding of the 5,000. They started with, like we would, 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes. That's in verse 9. That's not enough. That's not more than enough. That's much less than enough. I mean, that's a lot less than enough. We got 5,000 men here, plus women and children. But look what happened when Jesus got through with it. Verse 12. When they were filled, he said to disciples, gather up the fragments that remain. That's that word abound. That nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together, filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above. That's abound. Remained what? Over and above. Remained what?
Over and above.
And what did the prodigal say? Enough and to spare. That is the word he used in Corinthians when he said you ought to abound in knowledge, you ought to abound in faith and utterance, and in finances and in love. Enough and to
spare.
Enough and to spare. Abound. Enriched. That includes your money. Isn't this fun? Look at Matthew. If we could read Greek and think in Greek, but we can't. But we'll use Strong's. Chapter 15. Now this is the feeding of the 4,000. They started with 7 loaves and a few fish. That's in verse 34. This is a different incident, yet the word, the results are the same. Verse 37, they did all eat. How many of them ate?
All.
And were what? And they took up the broken meat that was, or the Greek says that abounded. They took up that which abounded. What abounded? What is the abundance? The leftovers. 7 baskets full, and they just started with 7 loaves of bread. See, we're talking about God thinks in abundance. He thinks big. Our problem is we've only thought little bitty. Let's look at it again. Look at Mark. Want to? They change the English word on us and then we don't recognize it. Here it is again. Feeding of the 4,000. 8:8. So they did eat and were filled, and they took up of the broken meat that was what? Left. They did eat and were filled and took up of the broken meat that was left 7 baskets. And that word left is the word abounded. If you just barely got enough, you're not into abundance yet. Much less if you had less than enough. What the prodigal say? He said, I'll go home. My father's people have enough and to spare. That's abundance. Well, that's the truth of the Word of God. Now turn back to 2 Corinthians. Let's one more time hit the nail of money right on the head. Because now we got the picture, don't we? More than enough. Enough and to spare. Leftovers. Remains. Now I told you a couple weeks ago we talked about money. Doesn't mean we're all going to be millionaires, but it means it says every man as he purposes in his heart. As I purpose in my heart, if I have an apartment with no washer and dryer hookup, it would be a great abundance to me if I got a new apartment with a washer and dryer. And your abundance depends upon where you are. Whereas the next people, they may have 2 fine cars, they're believing for a yard man so daddy doesn't have to do the yard. And abundance for them would be to be able to afford that yard man. And abundance, having more than enough, is just to stretch yourself farther than you are. But as I stretch myself, then I give more generously into the gospel because I'm more concerned that the lost be saved and that the kingdom prosper than I am about myself. And yet we're going to have both because it is the will of God to have both. Now, in chapter 8, where we read this wonderful verse, as you abound in what? As you abound in what? As you abound in what? Now look what these people had. Verse 2. How then in a great trial of affliction. Well, if we're abounding with affliction, we have a concept of that, don't we? They had trouble. They had an abundance of trouble. And the abundance of their what? What does James say? Count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Great joy. An abundance of abound in what? Usually when we have a great trial, we don't abound in much joy. We usually get depressed, don't we? Uptight. And what else did they have plenty of? Deep poverty. See, abundance and giving does not depend upon having money. It depends upon giving what you have available to you. These people had trouble and poverty. And in spite of their poverty, it says they abounded. That is the same word. Unto the riches of their liberality or generosity. They abounded. They were a generous people. And it says they abounded. They had enough and they gave more than enough. Now you see that in verse 3. For to their power I bear them record, yes, and beyond their power. They gave to their power and what? Now I doubt any of them wrote a $1,000 check. It didn't say they were poor, it said they had deep poverty. That is the Greek word for to beg. That's the word they'd use for beggars on the streets, to beg. They had deep poverty, and yet they were liberal or generous. I doubt they gave a $1,000 check. I imagine if they had a dollar rather than just giving a dime, they gave the whole dollar. Because it says they gave to their ability and beyond. See, they're abounding, and as I abound in my giving, I can abound in my receiving. And that's what he says over in chapter 9. He which soweth sparingly shall reap also. Sparingly is not abounding. It's not more than enough. It's not enough and to spare. It's not leftovers. It's not remains. It means I kept most of what I had. These people had deep poverty, and yet from their deep poverty, they gave what they had. They gave beyond what they had. It means they gave sacrificially. Why? Because he which soweth bountifully, he which sows more than enough, he which sows beyond, he which sows superabundantly, he which sows with leftovers and remains reaps with leftovers and remains. Yeah, see? That's why it's not working for us. We're not working it. I just quote the scripture this way sometimes because it helps my heart, and I notice people go, oh, it helps theirs. The scripture says, keep and it shall be given unto you. Because that's the way we kind of live our life. No, as I give, I say, I don't have a dollar, but sister, you can have it. And that's what he said, the widow with two mites, you remember her? It's all they gave. The big men came, they gave, you know, put in check $20, $30, $40, $50, but they had thousands. That wasn't any big deal for them. She only had two mites, and she gave the entire two mites. See, she's a candidate for more than enough. She's a candidate for leftovers and remains. She's a candidate for the spare because she's given generously. These people had poverty, but they were generous. And it's an attitude that I cultivate in my heart. I have to cultivate it in my heart. Right down here on the inside, I have to recognize I'm a little on the tight side. Sometimes they take up offering at church, and I have to stop and check my heart and change how I think on the inside. Well, if that's never happened to you, you're exceedingly abundantly blessed. Now look, verse 8, chapter 9. God is able. God is what?
Able.
Not any particular big deal in my book. I want to know, is he willing? I appreciate his ability. I want to know about his willingness. God is able, and there's a reason they use the word able there. I want you to catch it. To make all grace what? That word abound is excess, more than enough, remains, leftovers, to spare, plenty of the very best. He can do that for you. You who? Who's that you? God is able to make all grace abound towards you. Follow your English. Who is that you? Look at verse 7. Every man according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver, for God is able to make all grace abound towards you. You who? The cheerful giver. If you're not the cheerful giver, he's not able to make all grace abound towards you. He's talking about the cheerful giver, the one who gives more than enough, the one whose heart is to give sacrificially. They're the ones he can make abound or give back in excess. That you always That's all the time, having all sufficiency in all things. Now, is that excess or what? Always having what? All sufficiency in all things may what?
Abound.
Therein is the purpose of the financial system, that I can abound to every good work. That I have plenty, my household needs are fully and completely met, I can put a substantial amount in missions every month, I can increase my tithes so that I can increase my standard of living and hire my yard man or whatever is important to me. Bound to every good work. But I'm not me in my mind, and I know it comes to me because I planted the seed, and the farmer always eats of his seed, of his harvest. But the harvest is also, listen, if the farmer all he does and plants and eats, what happens to the world? We are expecting the farmer to eat once he plants, aren't we? But are you expecting to eat of what he, how many of you got a garden planted and are eating from your garden? What about the rest of you? We're dependent on the farmer not to eat everything. Isn't that right? Dependent on the farmer not to eat everything. Well, that's what it says. Verse 10, he that ministers to the seed, to the sower, both minister bread for your food and multiply your seed sown. Some for the farmer, some for me. And increase the fruits of your bountifulness, your righteousness. Now here's verse 11. Being what? Being what? Enriched. That means wealthy. You look it up in the Greek. In everything. In love. In faith. In utterance. In knowledge. In money. Why? Because I want to give it to every good work. Abound to every good work. Now let's read it in Ephesians before we quit. Because we can get over it in money and totally become blinded by our own need. Chapter 4, verse 28. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that... You're not working to pay your mortgage. You're not working just to feed your family. You're working so that when times are hard, you can help me feed mine. The purpose, every Christian is supposed to have leftovers, supposed to have an excess, supposed to have an abundance, supposed to have remains, supposed to have enough and to spare. That's what that verse says. Well, look at Deuteronomy where it's repeated. We've read some of these before, but we'll close by reading them again. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18. Thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power or ability to get wealth. Why? That he may establish his covenant which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. And that covenant is that every single person can be born again. Every single person can be filled with the Spirit. Every single person can be financially blessed. Every single person can be full of the knowledge of God. It's me and you and me. It's all of us together. And it's not that I'm going to have money for me. I'm going to have money for me and you. And then if you have money for me and you, we got it, don't we? Isn't that right? Look at Proverbs. We'll read this one again because I like it. Let's see if it's in chapter 11. Say, enriched in everything.
Enriched in everything.
Enough and to spare. Remains.
Leftovers.
Chapter 11, verse 24. This is just the Old Testament version of 2 Corinthians 9. There is that scattereth and yet increases. There is that withholds more than is meet, but it tends to poverty. The liberal soul shall be made. Well, what's a liberal soul? That just mean liberal. I'm liberal with me. I am pretty liberal with me. I don't mind spending my money on me. Aren't you liberal with you? You think that's all that means? I don't think that even counts. That's all I am, liberal with me. The liberal soul shall be made fat. Thus, he that watereth shall be watered also himself. The liberal soul. Liberal with who? With the world. Who's going to increase? Well, I think increase comes in, it says every man as he, we talked about this, so important that we get the order together. Every man as he purposes in his heart. The first thing you do is purpose. What kind of increase you're going to do. Maybe you're going to increase your tithe. Maybe you're going to give a little to missions. Maybe you're going to support a Kenneth Copeland, Mark Bazee, or somebody else. But it says first you purpose in your heart. That's the first thing you do. You settle it in your heart, your inward man. What you need, what kind of increase you need, and how you're going to bring that increase about with your generosity. And then it says, as you purpose, then let him give. And then after giving, it says you plant your seed and you what? You receive or you sow. And yet everywhere you go, somebody will say, if I had more, I'd give it. No, if you'd give more, you'd have it. See, if we get it right, it works. If we get it wrong, it won't work.